Now, doing nighttime jogs was one of my favorite things. It was really nice to be out by the streetlights, and I never dared really to go towards real forests because I kind of thought they were quite creepy. Once or twice I actually got caught out in the forest and it did scare me a bit. I remembered one time that most of my friends had actually gone away and I was basically on my own. So I decided that I should probably do some exercise just to keep my mind happy. Now, my brother had actually went on holiday too, and I kind of regretted not going. The thing was, I went away with these guys before and I really come to not enjoy it much, and I just thought it would be a waste of money to do so again. A lot of people were telling me to go, but I just couldn't justify the money and time, and heck, it was only going to be about 1 week. Now, I wasn't actually working at this time, so I was probably especially bored. And like I said, most of my friends had all went away on this one trip, so there wasn't much I could do. And I lived at home with my mom and dad at the time, so I'd actually be quite bored and not really have anything to do whatsoever. It kind of sucked where they lived because it wasn't close to a gym or much of anything, and I don't know, I just thought that was really boring for me. So yeah, I was doing one of my regular jogs and I decided to go through the forest on this one particular day. I didn't really check the time and I'd actually originally decided to walk, so I didn't expect to be jogging. But for whatever reason, that bug kicked off on me and I go off into the woods. Now, I spent too long on my phone and the next thing I knew, it was already dark, like really dark. So I was out there trying to find my way back when suddenly I hear the sound of a dog. Now, this thing is barking really loud, like it kind of makes me jump every time that I hear it like that, and it doesn't let up. It goes on for about a good 10 minutes before I realize that it's getting closer, and this thing sounds menacing, and there's no owner chasing it, by the way, so I'm pretty convinced that I need to get out of here. I quickly jump up on the bench and there's an old structure there, and I hear the barking get closer and closer, and then I can see it. Now, I don't know for certain if this is a wolf or not, but my god, does it look like one. It looks much bigger than normal dogs, and within a second I'm on top of this structure. And this thing is honestly like a bat out of hell, but coming straight for me. It jumps up so high that it almost reaches over to get me. And it falls back down again, and I start screaming for help. I scream a few times, and I'm met with only the sounds of the trees moving from the wind, and I realize I'm on my own. And this dog does not give up, or wolf, whatever it is. It's literally trying to climb on top to get me. I go to kick its head when it comes up, but I realize it might bite my foot and drag me down with it, so I decide not to. I don't have any idea how to train myself or what I can possibly do if it comes, so I just get ready to fight basically. Now, this freaking thing does not let up for a good 40 minutes. What's worse is my phone that wasn't very good at the time had completely run out of charge, so it's just me, myself, and I up here trying to get away from this thing. The other thing too is I was quite cold because I wasn't moving much, so I was worried about getting too cold and being in another kind of danger or getting pneumonia. I don't really know how it works, but you can read between the lines of what I was scared of. Eventually, I hear a very loud crash of lightning, and it disappears. I'm too scared to actually look over the edge of this building because I'm certain that it's going to be there again, but it's completely gone. Now, annoyingly for me, there's an inside part, and this animal could have easily ran and hid inside it, and I wouldn't have known. So now I'm stuck with a dilemma. I can stay where I am, or try and make my way out of there, but I know realistically this thing could run and get me. I decide that I don't have much of a choice now, so I decide to dangle down my headphone cable and actually drop my headphones in case it runs out. But nothing happened. I then have a more ingenious idea and wait for the next flash of lightning, which is actually scarily close to me, to illuminate the surroundings just enough, and I can see that this thing is gone. Now that's what doesn't make sense to me. Within a second, no, actually less than a second, this animal completely disappears. So yeah, it was pretty weird that this had happened. I'm very scared and convinced myself that this is the end, and I'm just prepared to go up trees, and while I'm walking back to civilization, I'm always looking for the closest one I can get to. Eventually I make it back to safety, and I ended up jogging home because I was cold. I didn't really tell my parents about what had happened, but I was a little bit concerned about that thing I'd seen. It honestly looked like a wolf, but somehow different. I don't know if it was a new species or what, but I know for a fact that they're not native to the land that I live on, so they 100% shouldn't have been one there, and that creeped me out. Now interestingly, that's not the only scary thing that happened to me when I'd been out in the woods on my own doing some exercise. I remembered that another time I was walking in an area that I thought I knew pretty well when I noticed the path ahead blocked. There's an old burnt out car which is completely blocking my way, and it's quite weird because it almost looks like the car's just been burnt a few seconds ago, but if you get close to it, it doesn't feel warm at all, and there's no people, no fire engine, and not enough of the ground is burnt to be honest. The ground should be burnt completely over, but it really doesn't look like it, and I think this is really odd. Not to worry too much though, I have a plan B. I can go all the way around, and that's what I try and do. Now, I make it a little bit further up ahead, and I realise that there's a gate which I should be able to scale over and make my way back to a main road. Now, I have to be careful here because the gate is a pretty big one, and I don't want to get my legs stuck and probably bleed, because that could be just as dangerous. Or obviously I could hit my head, but you get the point. Now I come up to another area that I'm familiar with, and it's just open land. That's when I realise something moving up ahead. I stay completely still for a few seconds and try and figure out what it is, and I can see that there's a person walking. Not just one, there's multiple. There's 5, then 6, then 7 people all walking in a single file line. They're wearing some kind of overalls, but they're carrying something, and I can't make out what it is. Now, I can't be certain, but there's a very large box which they're carrying on their heads. And weirdly, when they're walking, they don't seem to make a sound whatsoever. And this is something that really creeps me out. I actually don't have a clue how they move so silently in this kind of situation, but they did. Whatever they're carrying seems to be really heavy, but they're not making any signs of struggling. Now, they walk off into the trees, literally, and disappear. The thing I didn't get is the way they walked is literally straight into some really dense, like, I don't know what you call it, but like plants and things. But they should have made noise, and they shouldn't have been able to walk so directly into it. But guess what? They did. And that still freaks me out to this day. So yeah, as you can imagine, for about 5 or 6 years, I didn't actually go into the woods whatsoever. Not really for anything, I just didn't see the point because I actually got bored of it all. I know it looks beautiful and great, but after a while it can become quite the same. But for some reason, I started to get that bug in me again to go back out into the forest and just jog. And what do you know, I ended up doing it quite regular, which is back to the start of my story. It was one of those days, and I decided that I was going to go further into the forest. Now, this was actually during a summer's day, so everything was really warm and dry, which was great. You did have a number of different insects and bugs that you had to be careful for, but that wasn't too much of an issue. I made my way into quite a nice open area, and I jogged for about a good 10 minutes before stopping. I actually should have brought some kind of longer bottoms, but I didn't, so my legs were getting cut up pretty nastily while I was jogging. So I took a while to sit down and just relax and listen to some music, and I had a grand old time. That's when I could smell smoke. Now it took me a few seconds, because initially I thought it was a barbecue, like don't ask me why, but this is exactly what I thought. And suddenly I realised that it feels too warm where I am. And honestly, for a second I thought I might have passed away or something, it was that weird. Everything has this glow to it, and I realised that there's a fire, and a big one. Not only that, some of the houses near me have actually caught fire. I look around to see how far the fire goes, and then I realise it doesn't stop. Literally, all around me is fire, and there doesn't seem to be anywhere I can go. I start panicking now. As I look over, all I can see is a very tall wall which protects something. I don't know what it is, it's like trains or whatever, but it's impossible for me to climb it, literally. Even if you're the best in the world at parkour or climbing, there's no way that I'm gonna get over it. Now, the fire actually begins spreading, and it's kind of come in parallel to me. It means it's not going directly to where I am, but I can see any opportunity for escape getting narrower and narrower, and I decide to assess the situation. I quickly take the deepest breath that I can, and I jog towards it. I didn't realise how quickly I'd get out of breath doing so, but I now quickly scan my surroundings. I certainly can't jump through this, and I can't hear any fire engines or anything, so I know I'm in big trouble. There is a kind of canal thing that runs off. I don't know whether it's a stream actually, but I know that that's dangerous too, because the water runs very quick through here. And I realise that if the fire does spread on either side, I'm gonna drown trying to escape. And then I have to catch my breath again, so I sprint back in the exact direction that I've just come from. I now start to scream and swear, calling out for help as quickly as I can. I manage to call through to the fire department, and they say that they're aware of the situation just to stay where I am and that help's coming. They tell me don't move whatever I do, but I say no, I'm gonna move. And I say I'm gonna turn off my phone now, because I need to save the battery, so I do so and don't listen to their reply. Within those couple of seconds that I made the call, the fire actually starts spreading at a much quicker pace now, and it starts to engulf me, and I realise that I have no other options of what to do. I start to get as much air into my lungs as possible, and try and breathe out all of the carbon dioxide that might be in my system. I take one last breath and I dive into the water. Immediately I hit my head and I start bleeding because I've gone into some rocks, because the water's actually less deep than I think, and I'm really struggling to stay afloat. I lose my phone immediately upon impact and I start drifting backwards. Now, I didn't realise too, but again the fire had spread even closer and was actually spreading to the wall. The wall was made out of some kind of wood and it wasn't fire resistant whatsoever. I now realise that there's a small clearing where this goes under the wall, but I don't know what's on the other side because I can see smoke coming from here. I decide that I don't have much of an option and I quickly take my last breath. I close my eyes and I just try and be as peaceful as I can, because if I don't make it, it's not going to make much use panicking now. And within a second, I'm ejected on the other side, and there's no fire. It takes me a while to figure out where I am, because I've actually never seen this, but there's some really old rail tracks here. I quickly surface again, and I go to find my phone, but it's long gone. I can't stay for too long, because the fire is also spreading on the wall, and I can see it at the very top. I eventually beeline it towards where I think civilization should be, and thankfully make it to a road in safety. I never recovered my phone, and luckily nobody got hurt in the fire, but my god, I still have nightmares about this thing. Sometimes I wake up in a cold sweat, remembering the situation that I was in. During the summer of 2008, it was a rough time to graduate from college. I just spent 4 years getting a degree, only to find that the job market had all but dried up. As bummed out as I was about being unemployed for the foreseeable future, I found a deep appreciation for backcountry camping and hiking that summer. Growing up in the Rocky Mountains and graduating from a college in Western Montana, I was not a stranger to hiking or camping, but That summer, it had become an escape to the point of obsession. Now, going on daily hikes and camping beneath the stars really helped my mental health while I was worried about my life purpose and future. It was June, and unseasonably cold and wet. It was even cloudy. The daylight highs barely touched 50 degrees, and at night, it could easily go way below freezing. But despite the weather, I had planned to hike around the Anaconda Range that week, and I wasn't going to let that deter me. My plan for the week, funnily enough, was to hike from Storm Lake, over Storm Lake Pass, and down to Upper Seymour Lake. Storm Lake is a challenge to get to and actually requires a 4x4 pickup and some skilled driving. The road is narrowed and a two-track winding one, pushing its way through thick pine forests. The way was slick with rain, but I made it to the top with a little heartburn. I set up camp on the north shore of the lake and decided to do some fishing. The fishing was miserable. It was cold and nothing was biting, but the best thing about bad fishing is that my thoughts were free to wander while I sat on the shore. The rain was a constant light drizzle and created a natural white noise. Time passed and my daydreams were cut short as a low rumble comes up from a canoe, overtaking the sounds of rain. The rumbling was not like a distant diesel engine. Now that was a little bit odd. There were no roads that go beyond where I was camped. No machinery or vehicles could be up on the canyon. Maybe it's a plane, I thought, looking up into the rain clouds, but the sound wasn't getting closer or further away, and the sound wasn't actually above me. It came from beyond the lake and up into a canyon. The sound was stationary and constant. This was most certainly not a plane, or a truck or bulldozer. All of this wasn't outright scary, but nonetheless made my hair stand on its ends when I sat there listening. After 20 minutes, the rumbling faded away, and I was again left with only the sounds of rain. Soon enough, I caught a decent sized trout and cleaned it and headed back to camp to get ready for dinner. The fish cooked up fine, but to be honest, I hate trout. It's edible, sure, but totally unappetizing. They taste like mud. I ate as much as I could stand and tossed the rest into the lake. I'm now building up my fire for the night. I set back to enjoy the evening bit of whiskey. Night comes fast. The mountain ridge put the sun to bed early, and the rain clouds had actually obscured the starlight. It was dark, really dark. There was the sounds of crackling warm fire and rain bouncing off my tent, which were a great comfort and reason for me to lure into sleep. I remind myself that I needed to build up the fire before bed. I walk over to my pile of scavenged firewood and grabbed an armful. Being away from the fire cracking, I could pick up on that all too familiar rumbling sound which rises and falls in the background. It was growing louder and louder, and closer. I may have had a few many pulls of whiskey, but the noise was definitely ringing up to my camp. I yelled out, "Hey, shut up." Like a switch being flipped, the rumbling sound stopped, and so did the rain, and my heart skips a beat. I realized that isn't actually a coincidence. There was almost an intelligence, something sentient, observing me and responding to my screams, and I wasn't getting the most positive vibes from it. I threw all the logs onto the fire and retreat back to my tent, more on edge than I've ever been before, listening to the fire crackling, to my rapid breathing, and beyond that to the silence of darkness. Before that moment, I had never felt alone and dangerous at the same time. Now I feel vulnerable and alone. Beyond where the firelight faded, I felt that there's actually a million eyes watching me. My paranoia began to subside when suddenly the rain starts again. Not a drizzle, but actually a downpour. I was honestly shocked by this and really glad that I built up the fire, or it would have been snuffed out for sure. My tent was being pushed down by the force of the storm. I thought about bailing to the truck, but I knew I'd be soaked to the bone instantly. Risking injury or death getting over wet is something I can't really risk. I couldn't feel the rain pooling over my tent though, initially, until I focused on it. I now realise that the storm isn't letting up. The urge to get in the pickup and drive away was truly tantalising. I could get my stuff tomorrow in the daylight and spend a few nights in town. But I'd had a bit too much to drink. Driving essentially wasn't going to be a good idea, especially on the muddy two-track road, which would have actually been a death sentence. But I still needed a safer place to stay than a wimpy tent. Grabbing what I could, I ripped open the tent flaps and ran for the truck. I was soaking wet by the time I settled into the driver's seat and locked the doors. Turning the heat on full blast, I hoped that would dry me out. It was going to be a miserable night. I reclined in my chair, then tried to calm my thoughts with deep breathing. The rain isn't letting up though. I was warm from the heater, and I was riding the crest of a good whiskey buzz, and weirdly the fire was still going strong despite the rain, and keeping my campsite well lit. I remember the truck's clock reading 1:06 a.m. I blinked. It was only a moment, but when I opened my eyes, the rain had stopped. It was foggy and quiet. The once raging campfire was just embers, and there was morning twilight to the east. The truck's clock now read 5:45 a.m. in the morning. That couldn't be right. Almost 5 hours gone in the blink of an eye. I must have passed out. My head was killing me. Now, I didn't feel like I'd drank that much to justify this feeling. I never had it before. I turned off the truck and stepped out to survey the night's damage. My tent was completely flattened. Tent poles were shattered to pieces. Everything was soaking wet. Smothering in the remains of the fire, I quickly dragged all my junk and pick up and toss things into the bed. My hike over the pass wasn't happening today, that was for sure. It was around 6:30 a.m. before I finished picking up camp. As I climbed into the cab of my truck, I heard the rumbling again through the morning fog. I drove out as fast as I could down that muddy road, not once looking back. I've never been back to that lake since. In the summer of 2012, I took a job as an expedition canoe guide on the Boundary Waters in northern Minnesota. These are a massive wilderness area of lakes and land. I was working for the Boy Scouts, and we were based on Moose Lake on the US side. My job was to facilitate a fun and safe multi-day trip, anywhere from 7 to 12 days out. Most of the summer was typical, but one expedition in particular still haunts me as a result of what happened to us over the course of a few days. Here is the account in full. My crew was on the younger side. There were 9 of us total, the maximum allowed in a group per a permit. There were 6 scouts, 2 adults, advisors, scoutmasters and myself. They had wanted to do a 200 miler but didn't have the physical ability, so we had to amend our route. They were bummed out, so I decided to take them to a waterfall called Eddy Falls. It's pretty flat up there, so a waterfall is somewhat rare, but that decision would end up putting us in path of something. We visited the falls and camped near to it. That evening, I had the boys working on camp setup while the advisors worked on fire for dinner. I was collecting firewood in a big tangle of down trees. brush and bramble, and I could faintly hear the falls off to my left when out of nowhere I hear the most unearthly scream and roar that I've ever heard. It stops me dead in my tracks. I was frozen. The second scream is closer, and the third is closer still. I couldn't see anything due to the thickness of the brush, but whatever this was, it was actually coming directly towards me now. By the fourth scream, I could actually feel it in my chest. I got nauseous and involuntarily barked at it. I have never before or since heard that sound come out of my body. The fifth scream, though, actually physically hurt. It snapped me back to reality, and I ran back to camp. My crew heard it too, but what do I tell them? I claimed it was the boar. There's no boars up here, and the advisors knew I was lying, but I didn't call my bluff. After dinner, they went to their tents, and I retired to my hammock about 50 yards from camp. Now, as a rule, I'd always set up my hammock at my head height, so about 6 feet up. I would use a tarp over my body and head to keep the morning dew off and mosquitoes at bay. But the tarp wasn't strung up. That's important. It was just loosely over me. It must have been around 3 or 4 a.m. when I was awoken by what sounded to me like a woman sobbing. Not an outright cry, but a sob. At the time, I'm hearing something walking through the thick brush down past my feet. So I listen, totally still, and I'm as quiet as I can be as it crosses into camp. I could hear the change from the brush to granite rock, but could still hear its heavy footsteps as it walks right through the camp and on towards me. At this point, the tarp is still over my head and I couldn't see a thing. I don't know what to do. I had no time as it was standing right next to me. I could hear the breathing, the loud congested sound. I could smell the musk. I could feel its enormous presence only inches from my body. Just standing there, time to make a decision. I suddenly threw my tarp off my head, and as I did, to my left, I touched this thing's chest. Now it was dark, but I could make out briefly a very large upright figure. The hair on it was long and coarse. It was muscular and impressive. Now, it all happened in a second, and as soon as my hand made contact, it actually bolted back into the brush with immense speed for such a thick thing. Now, by the time I got my headlamp and it was gone, my crew had slept through it all until the sun comes up, and I decided, well, I probably shouldn't mention this. The next day, we moved on a few miles towards base camp and camped on a small island. Campsites on the US side are designated by a fire pit and a grumper, which is a fiberglass toilet over a deep hole. We were just arriving and it was evening. One of the adult advisors needed to visit the grumper, so he starts to walk towards it. About 2 minutes later, we hear him yelling, and he comes running back to camp, still pulling up his pants, and tells us that he's just seen a gorilla run right in front of him. I asked him if maybe it was a bear, and he said absolutely not, that he'd hunted bears for years, and it was definitely not a bear. It was a monkey, and it was about 9 feet tall. At this heightened estimate, I imagined that this was the thing that I saw by my hammock. If I touched the chest and it was 6 feet off the ground, then that puts its head at about 9 feet up. Was it stalking us? Was there more than one? The boys were now scared. Time to mitigate. I suggest a night paddle. No one's sleeping anymore anyway, so we pack up the things that we have and set out around 8 p.m. and paddle by a headlamp for several miles. My plan was to get back onto Moose Lake and camp very near to the base so we could be the first crew off the water the following day. Moose Lake is connected to Newfound Lake by a small pitch and a channel of water that's not very deep or wide. There's dark woods on both sides. We were right in the middle of Pinch when a rock the size of a basketball came flying out of the woods, on the right side, narrowly missed the bow of the canoe that I was steering. And there's still no cliff there. This thing was forcibly thrown at us from the tree line. At this, we paddle like hell. We paddle to the center of Moose Lake, tied all three canoes together, and we sat out there all night. With the sunrise, we paddled to base camp and ended our expedition. Now, they did not want to talk about what happened, and I was okay with that. They left for Oklahoma the next day. After they left, I went to work a shift in the canoe yard, helping crews offload. My buddy Justin got back for that day from a trip in the same area that we had been to, in Bear Loop, and as I was helping him put a boat on the rack, I noticed he had a distant stare, almost like a 1,000-yard stare. I thought this was odd, and I say to him, "Well, how did your trip go?" And he said it was all good until they hit Knife Lake / Newfoundland Lake. He said that they thought they were being messed around with for 2 nights on Knife and actually had a rock thrown at them. Sure enough, for a solid 2 weeks after that crew kept coming back from that area with solid stories matching this one. One night, there was a crowd of guides in the staff lodge swapping trail stories, and these encounters came up one after another. You know, the screams, rocks, sightings of apes. Then from the back corner of the room I hear a chuckle. It's one of the old veteran guides who had been there for over a decade. All he said was, "It's about time that somebody else seen one." I asked how long he'd known they were there. He said that he'd actually been encountering them for 10 years, and he said they talked to me. This shocked me, and I said, "Like a language?" He said no, telepathically. The less you acknowledge them, the less they'll bother you, but they can read you like a book. Now, what happened out there is still a big question in my mind. I've always been open to the idea of Sasquatches. Their existence was never a huge stretch for me. But what really sticks with me is the way that the veteran guide spoke of their intelligence and parapsychological abilities. That they can read human emotion as clear as pages in a book, that they know our specialties and our abilities even greater than our own species ourselves. I work as a park ranger, and I had something that I experienced today which I don't quite understand. One of my other worker colleagues had told me that he'd seen something weird that he couldn't explain and wanted me to investigate too. He'd given me the exact location and said that he wasn't going to preface it, he just wanted me to go there and let him know what my experience was, and I said okay. I was actually a little bit cautious, but I'd known this colleague for a while, so I make my way over to said location and I find a door, literally in the middle of the woods. For no reason at all. It looks like quite an old door, but kind of like a grand one that you might see on an old house, and weirdly, it had one of those old door knockers. I look around and don't see anything and decide to get closer and make it up to the door. Now, when I get to the door, I can hear a weird sound around it, almost like lots and lots of people whispering, but there's no one around. It's very faint but very distinct. I decide that I should maybe try and open it, but before I do, I'm kind of caught making eye contact with the knocker. It's so creepy looking. It's like an almost demon face one, but I decide to tap on it a few times to knock on the door. And as I do so, for a moment, everything changes to red and black in colour, almost like I'm looking at something through a filter. I look around and I can only describe this as being in hell. I'm in what appears to be a weird cave system or something. I can hear screams all around me, some weird dark figures moving in the distance, and there seems to be blood dripping off everything, and within a second I go back to normal, and the whispering stopped. So, I very bravely sprint back and get all the way back to the station and report to my buddy what had happened. He said he didn't know what to make of it too. Now, this is the weirdest part. When we went back to investigate with a group of others and were actually recording it this time, it's nowhere to be found. We gone to the exact spot that we had both seen it, and it was literally completely gone, like it never existed in the first place. I found four crude gravestones as a child that dated back to the 1860s deep in the woods. Now they're gone and no one seems to remember. I don't have much of a story, and the title pretty much summarizes it, but I go to this area often as an adult, but nothing's ever there like before. I remembered when I found them and showed them to my stepmom and dad. I know I did, but 25 years later they act like they have no clue what I'm talking about, as if it was all a dream. The footers of the headstones would have suggested young children. I'm not even sure if this is correct, but I'm just looking for closure. I know what I saw. I saw it multiple times. I used to spend half the day hiking there, and I'd just sit there with them as a kid. I'd like to mark those kids' graves because I feel like they deserve not to be forgotten, but no one seems to remember. About a year ago, I moved my family and I to go a home way out in the woods in Tennessee. I wanted to be brief here, but I need to get this off my chest, and after looking into this matter a little more, I have a lot more detail that I think will paint a clear picture in the end, so please bear with me. The nights here can be extremely loud, between the crickets, the frogs, and the other things, it can be almost deafening. One night, not too long after we moved in, I had forgotten something in my car and headed out to get it. The first thing that struck me as odd was that my dog wouldn't go outside with me. My dog goes everywhere with me, as I am her whole world, but not this night. As I held the door open, she looked out and looked up and kind of noped. So, I walk out and shut the door behind me. The second thing that caught me off guard was that there was not a peep. It's dead silent. I still remember shrugging this off and walking down my front steps and heading towards my car. When I'd gotten about 10 feet from the car, all the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I felt as though something was watching me. I looked around and see nothing. After I reached in my car for what I had forgotten to grab earlier, I had this feeling like something was moving towards me. I took a step back and checked around me. All of a sudden, I heard one of the hedges next to me that lined the walkway to our front door rattle. At first I thought it was a rabbit that I had spooked, as I had seen one just earlier in the day. A few seconds later, I heard the sound of a large rock landing a few feet away from me. I hit the walk and bounced into the shrub. I drew my gun and called out and said, "Whoever it is, you're about to be shot." After a few seconds of nothing, I began to feel like maybe this was some local teenager messing with the new people. I holstered my sidearm, turned around and started walking towards my front door. Almost as soon as I turned towards my house, I heard this deep panting sound. It sounded like a huge dog, but what made me note back to my front door was that it sounded like it's right behind me. I leaped up onto my porch, turn around and draw my gun again, expecting something right there, but there's nothing. A couple of weeks later, I was on my porch at night sitting on a bench with my wife. She just got up and walked in to get something, and as soon as she shut the door, I hear the panting sound again. I couldn't see anything, yet this sounded like it was right on top of me. The sound was coming from everywhere and it was loud. Again, I couldn't see anything, so I noped back into my home. Now at this point I was questioning moving here, but after nothing else really happened, I decided to let it go. A month or so later, it was a really rainy and stormy night. This is around 9 p.m. and my wife and I enjoy listening to the rain and talking about how relaxing it is. Now, me growing up in Oregon, I love the rain. And for the past 10 years, we lived in Vegas where it would dump the entire year's worth of rain, but suddenly be bone dry for the rest of it. For my wife, who grew up in Nevada, it was such a rare thing, and she loved going outside to watch it. So for us, this is actually an enjoyable thing. Except this particular night when things took a weird turn. As we're sitting there talking about how relaxing the rain sounds, my wife stopped me and said, "Do you hear that?" "No. What did you hear?" "I swear it sounded like a small child calling out for help, right in the woods." No, I didn't hear anything." And after a few moments of us listening, we hear it again, or at least she does. I say, "I don't hear a thing. Are you sure you're not just hearing things?" And she looks at me offended, saying, "No, I'm positive. It was our son. I think he's out there and lost." I say, no, he's sleeping on the couch." We then both look through the blinds that were right open behind us, and we can see all of our children laying there. She said, "That's so weird. I swear it sounded like our son." I said, "Well, it isn't him. He's right there. And besides, I don't hear anything." She then stands up and says, "Wow, he's really crying out for help. I need to look now." At this point, if you knew my wife, you would know she is absolutely creeped out by the woods and wouldn't be caught dead walking into them during daylight, much less at night during a storm. I grabbed her hand and said, "I have been listening intently and there is absolutely no one calling out for help. You stay here." At this point, I'm getting worried about her. She was acting completely out of character, not to mention that she was 8 months pregnant with our baby daughter. She then says, "What if there is a child out there in the woods?" I said, "Well, first off, I would be able to hear it too. Secondly, there's no other kids around here for miles and miles, and what's the odds of them being lost out there?" She said, "I know, but what if it's a kid?" Before I could say anything, she stands up and starts walking towards the stairs. I jumped up and grabbed her again, saying, "You're not getting out there. I don't know what's going on, but you need to stay inside." And it thoroughly freaks me out. A few moments after this, just as it's getting dark outside, I heard the front door open and I get up to investigate. Now, we have two twins who are 6 years old, and we have the door set up so they can't open it without us there. So to hear this sound, it could only be my wife. That was weird, and the fact that she doesn't usually go outside without telling me. I walked out the front and saw my wife walking down our private road towards the drive on the side of our home. I asked her what she's doing. She said that, "No, I was just sitting on the back patio and kept hearing a baby crying in the woods." I said, "Seriously, and you just decide to walk off to investigate?" She then looks into the woods and says, "See, there it is again." And again, I can't hear anything, but what I did notice is that it was completely silent out again. I told her, just like before, the chances of a baby being out there in the woods outside of our home is slim, and that she needed to get back in the house. She said, "What if somebody's baby's there?" I said, "Well, if that were true, I would hear it too." Now, at this point, I was getting really worried about my wife's mental health. I actually asked her to see a psychiatrist, but she did. Now, looking back, I felt really bad about this, but I had to do it. Now, a few days after this, we went out on the porch. It's early evening and I just mowed the lawn this day, and our 3-year-old son was riding around on his little car in front of the house. Now, he knows that he's not to go outside of a certain area that we mapped out. He loves playing outside, but with the road behind 50 feet or so from the porch, we have to be careful. So we're always cautious, and as we're talking, we both keep an eye on him. A neighbor drives by and stops to say hello. The interaction literally took 8 seconds, as of them basically asking how we are and stuff. He then says he's going to stop by later as his wife got something for the kids. And we said, "Okay, great," and he drives off. I now look over to where that Asun should be, and he's nowhere to be seen. I called out his name again and can hear his car on our side drive. I scold him for leaving the area, and he said something in his 3-year-old gibberish and pointed to the woods behind our home. I said he had 5 seconds to get back up to the front or else, and he adamantly pointed in the direction of the woods again, kept trying to tell me something. I look off in the direction of the woods and just assume that he saw a squirrel or deer or something and wanted to see it up close. I walk him back up to the front of the house and he actually cried the whole way there. He got really upset that I wouldn't let him go into the woods, but I just wrote this off as him being curious and like most 3-year-old boys are. Now, this incident wasn't an isolated one, and both of our twins have weirdly done something similar, but not quite as extreme as this. There have actually been nights where we've just laid down and hear a loud bang on the side of our house on the wall behind our bed. It was so loud that I jumped up and looked out the window. Our floodlight had come on, but I couldn't see anything. Now, the weird part about this is that our bedroom sits about 12 feet from the ground level, as we have a full-size basement that's cinder block. Now, I put on my slippers and grabbed one of my 12-gauge shotguns and walked out to investigate. It was dead silent again. The floodlights are on again on the side of the house, and I think this is pretty weird, but I get there and there's nothing. I then walk back around the house and shine the light around intently. As I approached the backside of the house, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. It felt like someone was watching me. I shine the lights up the tree and don't see anything. I round the corner, and the first thing I notice is that my 3 dogs that are in my area aren't making a sound. Now our dogs have no filter and bark at everyone and everything, including me. So to see them all hiding with their tails between their legs had me horrified, really. As I kept walking, all of a sudden, the crickets and frogs start making sounds again. It was as if that somebody flicked a switch. I walk back into the house and told my wife that I hadn't seen anything. She shrugged and said, "Okay, as long as our dogs are okay." Due to the circumstances that night, I decide to let the dogs sleep in and with us. This very thing happened on all 4 exterior walls, not just one. It's random but annoying, but terrifying nonetheless. There's also been a few times when we're sitting in the house as I was watching a movie, and my wife walked over to me and said, "Did you call me?" I said no, and she said that she could have sworn that she heard my name, and I said no, I didn't say anything. She said it was definitely my voice, but she doesn't understand because it sounded so close, but I was 20 feet away in a recliner. The important part to this is that she was sitting at the table doing something and the slider to the backyard was open behind her. Now our patio sits about 20 feet off the ground and is like a balcony as it has no stairs to access it. I think the previous owner built it for barbecuing. There have been several instances where she would say she heard somebody whispering in my ear, but she couldn't make out the sound. Again, I kept thinking she was crazy, but as you'll see, this is all tied to one final moment. The last thing I want to mention before we get into what happened is that I have a shooting range built behind my workshop on the opposite side of the property next to the main road. It's kind of on a downslope, but it works perfectly for what I needed. The range itself is cut straight into the woods, going down about 100 yards or so. When you're at the range, you have the woods surrounding you on all sides except for getting back to my shop. I have to say, it always felt creepy when I am dealing with my targets or mowing. When you are down there, it feels like you're miles from anyone. Now, one day around 5 in the evening, I was sighting a new scope on my rifle. The sun was still up, but it was gonna fade soon. So I knew this was going to be the final test. Now, up until this point, there was nothing really happening while I made my multiple trips downrange, other than feeling weird. As I get downrange, I kept getting the feeling that somebody's watching me and I can't shake it. I look around and don't see a thing. As I was placing stickers over my previous shots, I heard something big off the side behind me. It sounded like a large branch snapping off a tree. Now, if you've been in Tennessee before in the woods, you know that this happens a lot, especially in the middle of nowhere. So this is nothing new, except for this time, it was very loud, and it sounded like fresh strongwood, if that makes sense. I turned around again but can't see anything. I start walking back up to my rifle, and I swear I heard somebody right behind me. I turned around again but saw nothing. As I start to walk again, I hear this deep growl. It really sounds deep and loud, and what's worse is that it's actually all around me. I turned around facing the range and start walking backwards. The thought of some rabid dog charging me is really terrifying, but I know running's not a good idea if this is the case. So I walk slowly backwards up the hill with my rifle, but nothing happened. I grabbed my rifle and sprayed the target with rapid fire, hoping to scare off whatever this thing is. I left 10 rounds in the mag and grabbed my rifle back quickly, going back up to the house. Now, fast forward to roughly a year later, when we moved in and my niece is staying with us as a live-in nanny to earn money. We're on our way back from the store about a mile from our house, and I saw two eyes reflecting in the headlights coming from a wide tree on the side of the road just ahead. It had caught my attention because they were higher than a deer, but a different size and color. Just as I said, "What's that?" they squint and vanish. I had made a comment that it was almost as though it had known that I could see its size and suddenly moved. The color was kind of golden green, but they resembled the mannerisms of a large cat and felt ominous. It's really hard for me to explain, but I really can't define exactly what I saw. It's truly like nothing else. Now, a few moments later, when we arrive at the house, as we were getting bags out of the car, my 3-year-old son come bolting out of the house excited to see me. As I was waiting to help her carry in the bags, I heard my dog growl. I look in the direction she was looking, and it's at my neighbor's property across the street. Now, what I saw has kept me up all night. Up till this point, I've always been skeptical that anything was out there, as I've never seen anything with my own two eyes. Now, my street is on a kind of spread out neighborhood. Each house actually sits on several acres, and at the end of our road is Kentucky Lake. Our neighbor's house sits adjacent to the house on an acre lot. Directly in front of my house is a wall of woods, and directly behind my house is several thousand acres which are untouched. As I was looking across the street to my neighbor's property, I see a large dark figure between the trees at first. The movement caught me off guard, as it looked like something big moving quickly. Then it came into clear view and stood up. At first, it looks like a man, almost walking like one, and I don't know what to make of it. It was very tall, but what was strange is that the distance it covered was really not possible to be made by a human. It was clearly walking quickly, but moving faster than anyone can sprint. More importantly, there's no sound. It was like it was phasing in and out of reality when it moved. I shout out, "What is that?" and realize that it's looking directly at us. It had moved at such a crazy angle that it's minimizing its body now to not be seen so well, suddenly going silent. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up as I realized that whatever it is stalking us. I tell my niece to go in the house now, and I grabbed my AR-15 with a short scope and came back outside to see my niece still grabbing stuff out the car. Knowing her, I tell her very firmly that you have to get back in the house. Her disregard to my command annoyed me, but I still watch over her without saying a word as she was slowly walking. She turned around towards the woods and across the street from my house, and then suddenly bolted for the house. She ran up the stairs in a panic state, and she said, "I heard something big in the woods walking loudly on the leaves when I turned around. I heard a deep growl." I asked her why she didn't come when I told her, and she said that she thought I was talking to the sun. I told her about what I'd seen, and she wanted to get a closer look to see if she could see anything. I told her it's not a good idea, but she goes anyway. She begins walking down the walkway, and I heard the sound of dry leaves crunching in the woods across the street. I told her to stop and come and take the flashlight. Now at this point, she's about 3 feet away from my wife's SUV. As she turned and started walking back to me, I caught the glimpse of something grey and hairy bolt from the SUV back across the street into the woods. My porch is a raised porch, and our SUV is about 6.5 feet tall. And whatever this thing is, cleared about 45 feet in what appears to be a single jump. It moves honestly like lightning. Whatever it was, it wanted my niece. It jumped in front of the car and caught my line of sight and was waiting for her. Now, for whatever reason, she still doubted my warnings and grabs a flashlight and walks back towards the car. As she entered my driveway, she stops dead in her tracks, leaning forward as if she could see something. I ask her what she saw, and she turned and ran back on the porch, terrified, saying, "No, no, no." She said it was a figure hiding inside of a tree, and she saw its eyes. I ask her what do they look like, and she said dull red at first, but as she gets closer, it appears almost dead. She said it kind of looked really dark grey and was hard to describe, but the pupils were looking like something that's blind. She wanted to go out again and took a step down the stairs, and as she did, it revealed itself from the tree again. I said, "Get inside now." I went in and locked the door and look and see a tall human-shaped being, looking really tall and ominous as anything. The next morning, we actually do a height comparison to the tree limb she saw it, and it must have been about 9 feet, and apparently its eyes are about 6 feet apart. At this point, I don't know what that thing is, and after doing some research, I think it was maybe a crawler or glimmerman. I looked to see if there had been any other sightings in my area, but none. More importantly, I swear it would phase in and out of almost like a shadow person or being. Now, I don't know what to make of this, and I don't know if this thing could communicate telepathically somehow, because it would explain how I always had a weird feeling and could hear things, or my wife would at least. Secondly, it has like a playback communication, so when I heard a dog panting, it was probably one of the dogs that this had heard and then replicated somehow, and the same again with some of my children. Now, it really scares me. I hate the fact that I've seen something like this. Now, the more I read about this thing, the more everything that's been happening over the past year makes sense. One thing I find extra convincing is that down the road towards the lake, there's a property that is barbed wired off and is a wall of forest with no driveway. A lot of the properties on our road is undeveloped owned land, and no one on these actually goes to live there, but there's a sign that says Screamer lives here, with an arrow pointing into the woods. Now, I have to admit that when I first saw the sign, I actually laughed, thinking it was maybe the owner screamed at trespassers, but now I'm not so sure. I have some stories to share. They're all true, but I don't know, I'll start with the weirdest one first. When I was like 5, my parents had bought a house with a large yard, about an acre back, and there's a forest. One day, my granny was babysitting me. I decided to run around the backyard and play. She went inside to go to the bathroom. I remembered something beckoning me to go into the forest. Just a strong urge, so I do. I didn't go in very far before coming across a perfectly circular area filled with flowers. The sun was shining on it through the trees. It was so bright, and they're all different colours. There was a buck standing in the middle of it staring at me. I was a little confused, and it looks huge to me. I got a bit closer and it didn't run. It just watches me. I got so excited about the beautiful scene that I actually ran back to tell my granny. When I did, she was looking at me horrified, saying, "Where did you go? I was looking everywhere and got worried sick." Apparently, I'd been gone for a long time. I was confused. Now, regardless, I insisted on showing her what I found. She followed me into the woods, and we went past where all the wildflowers were and some of the deers are. Now, we were exactly where I was, but it was gone. I swore up and down to tell her about what I found, but it just wasn't there now. I remembered being really upset and confused. To this day, I wonder if I walked into some kind of portal or dimension. When I turned 13, we lived elsewhere, but I started having dreams about a single door in the middle of the woods. It was reoccurring for a number of years and really makes you wonder what's actually out there. I remembered there was a light snowfall the previous day on this particular patrol. There was nothing I had to worry about, really. Every so often I'd have to come to the rescue of people that got lost. Usually it was just tourists that would come to our country and want to be out in the snow and forest and not really be prepared for it. They'd often be very cold and not well equipped for the weather. It could be especially easy to get some kind of frostbite out here. Now, it's always cold all year round, but it can be especially nasty in winter. So that was what I was expecting most of my day to be like. Now, I remembered I had the occasional urge to look over my shoulder, but I fought against it. The scenery was okay. It wasn't so great today. A lot of the snow had went a bit slushy. Water was frozen and the paths were a bit muddy too. Every so often I would see some hikers and I'd say hello to them. Often they'd get confused about where they needed to go and it was my job to redirect them into the right areas of the wilderness where they were allowed to go. Now, eventually I have to get a bit further away from people because I need to go to the outskirts of where my ranger station patrols. This is where we'd get the most weird activity. Every so often we'd hear things in the night here that we couldn't pin down to a particular animal. All of the animals that we get here should be pretty scared of us, but I don't know. It seemed like you could almost guarantee that when you went here around 12 at night, you would hear a strange animal call that sounded very big. It sounded like a very large creature had to make it, so yeah, I was always cautious while being here. I eventually come up to the very perimeter of where I need to patrol and go through the gate. I'm now away from the people and the atmosphere is a lot different. Because of this being in close proximity to water, there was almost a mist covering everything. I think it's called sea drift, but I don't actually know the correct term for it. But I start making my way through the trees and I'm just having my general search. I have another buddy that's working with me and he's covering the area that I've come from, so I feel pretty safe to be out here and freely roam around. All of the trees here don't have any leaves on them, so it means that if you're not careful, one of the branches will get you in the face or neck, so I'm constantly cautious of this. I eventually make it through to a clearing and all is as it should be. I have the body of water to my right, and I'm just conscious to make sure I don't get too close to it, because sometimes it can be deceiving how close you are to danger. Now, I do notice something's odd. The gate that I've just come from is now open, which is pretty bizarre. I look around and I'm convinced that I closed it. In fact, I even remembered the sound of it closing. But when I've looked back, it's 100% open, and I know for a fact that I haven't done it. So I think this is odd. I quickly just have a look around to make sure that nobody's actually followed me in, but there's no one whatsoever. But I try my best not to let it bother me and just think, well, it was probably just in my head and I guess the gate flung itself open again. I ended up going a little bit deeper in now. Now, I'm getting further and further away from the water, so it's getting a bit less and less misty and this makes me feel more confident. I'm now into an area that's basically only used by us. It's where we have like a large cabin shed thing. I don't know what you guys call it again, maybe what you guys refer to as a barn, but it's basically where that we keep all of our equipment that we're not using. We had some pretty cool things here too. We actually had like a little ATV, an off-road thing that we would use sometimes to rescue people or just as like a rapid response thing. But we've got no need to use it this particular day. So I just continue up ahead like normal. Now, eventually I get to the very end of where I need to patrol, and that's when I hear it, the sound. Ah, yes, the sound that we've grown so accustomed to, and one that I'm not actually scared of now. I call back and say, "Hey, are you going to show yourself today or what?" I don't say it in English, but my own language, but the sound stops immediately, and I kind of laugh to myself, thinking, "Well, today I'm going to dance with this thing." Now, I continue on as I do the last part of my rounds until I notice something's up ahead of me. I can see quite a tall creature standing roughly where the shoreline is of the body of water. It looks almost like a snowman, but more similar to a tree in terms of its exterior. This thing doesn't move an inch, and I start walking towards it, confident that this is just a person that's hunting and shouldn't be here. I call out, "Hey, you're not supposed to be hunting here." I actually manage to jog all the way up to this thing without it moving an inch. Until then, it just takes off and heads straight towards the water. I suddenly realize that this isn't actually a hunter, and this is something different. I realize because when it's wading through into the icy waters, it isn't shuddering at all, and it literally just disappears down into the lake. Now, while doing so, I realize that there's a really bad smell around, and I can still see this thing moving underwater, and I now get the scowl of it because I've come much closer. It was probably about 6.5 or 7 feet tall, absolutely massive. It's actually swimming more like a fish now that it's underwater, until it stops and stares at me, and its eyes are almost glowing a yellowy orange color. I was extremely brave and decide to sprint out of there and get all the way back to the station. I radio in what I saw, and some of the guys go out to try and investigate. They say they can't see anyone. Just the tracks of somebody or something coming out of the water, getting to the exact spot that I saw this thing at, and then disappearing. But the worst part about it is, all of them think that I made up the story and that I was lying to them, trying to pull a quick one on them. But I know what I saw that day. I haven't seen it since, but it's still really weird. I was traveling solo around the Olympic Peninsula in Washington State and making various stops in the Olympic National Park. I decided to stop in Quinault for the first time and took a random road that dead-ended at a beautiful spot at the edge of the river. There was an ancient footbridge that led across the river, but it looked as though it might collapse if you try and cross it, so I decided against it. It was off season, and I was not in a tourist area. I was the only one there. It was so unusually hot outside that I decided I needed to get into the water. I backed my car all the way to the edge of the dead-end road, faced it out in the direction that I would need to leave. I then start hiking through the thick brush, down an embankment, and to the edge of the water. It was mid-fall, and I didn't have a suit since I didn't plan on swimming, so I took my clothes off and got in there. I had a nice swim, but I could not shake the feeling that I'm being watched, even though I'm in the middle of nowhere. After about 5 minutes, the creepy feeling was enough for me to head back, so I started to climb out, turn my back to the other side of the river, and walk back to where my clothes and shoes are. When I turned around, there was a big tall man standing in plain sight, just across from me on the other side of the river, but higher up on the embankment, and I didn't notice him at first. He's wearing a poncho made of animal pelts, had long hair full of sticks and twigs, and looked as though he'd been living out in the wild for a long time. We stood and stared at each other, well, me froze in terror really, for what felt like forever when, all of a sudden, he frantically took off on foot to the bridge leading across the water. I grabbed my car keys, tried to grab my clothes and shoes, but they got tangled up in some blackberry vines, so I left everything. I went running for my life through the thick brush, blackberries barefoot and in my underwear, trying to make it to my car before he made it across the river. There was no doubt in my mind that he's gonna hurt me. When I made it out of the blackberries, I could see that he was crossing the bridge towards me more rapidly. I get to my car, flung the door open just as he arrived. I locked the doors while he pounded on the hood of my car, just screaming and grunting non-verbally. The moment he went for my driver's side door, I hit the gas and took off as quick as I can. I looked back and he was chasing after me. He must have ran after my car for at least a mile until he faded from view. I was bleeding everywhere from running through the blackberries. I was unclothed, shaken and crying. Had I have hesitated for 10 seconds longer, I don't think I would have got out of there alive. Even typing out this story all these years later is actually making me shake. I will never ever go back to that area, and since that moment I always bring a hiking buddy with me to be safe. Now I was in Yellowstone riding a bicycle fast down a grey curve. Cars are stopped. I look up ahead and there's a grizzly. I could have easily hit into the cars or the grizzly bear itself. I'm just glad that I made it out of there okay. Now once I was driving into Yosemite at 4 a.m. and saw something in the road as I come around a corner, I slammed on my brakes and it turned out to be a wolf. Several years later, I mentioned this to someone offhand and they said Yosemite didn't have any wolves. I looked it up and they have exactly one wolf in the park. I realised that I nearly prowled into this one single wolf and I'm very glad that I've managed not to. Once while in a national park, I was chilling in a hammock and my family started yelling at me to run away. Turns out, there was a bear right near me. I slowly walk away and the bear actually went inside my hammock to start eating different things there.